And attending much more of the conference, I know that the most difficult talk is the next morning after banquet. So thank you very much, organizers, for inviting me, for opportunity to attend this wonderful event and to speak in the most interesting time. So I'm not sure that everybody wake up, so I just to hit you, I begin with some pictures. Yesterday we saw remarkable pictures prepared by son of Bill, Daniel. I would like to show some more pictures from independent sources. Oops. There are two of them. One is from private collection of Andrei Zelnikov, and it shows the pictures of the middle of 80s, pictures done during the quantum gravity meetings in Moscow. So he gave me permission to show you these pictures connected with Bill. This set of meetings was organized by Viktor Berezin and me, and we helped Moisey Alexandrovich Markov to organize this meeting, and Bob Wold, you were there, and Bill attended several of these meetings in Moscow. So this is a pictures. So basically, I will show many without comments and only brief comments and some special. So this, you can see three famous scientists. So it's, okay, so where is that? Yeah. You can almost recognize Bill. So this is Bob Wold, you can believe it. And this is Andrei Linde. Andrei Linde,
discussing
physics, I suppose. It's again Bob Wold and Bill Unruh. Oops. You will not believe, but it's me. And this is Bill Unruh. And looking at this picture, I have some kind of nostalgia. And I have very big doubts now about unitary evolution of systems. And this is Larry Ford and Bryce DeWitt. And this wonderful picture, Bill and Bob are discussing somebody's talk. So usually they're sitting together and discussing what is wrong. So at one conference they were attending my talk and all the time they were speaking about something. And after Bob told that, you know that we did not find mistakes, sorry. Okay, another set of the pictures is from more recent time, taken in Paris. They need some comments. Bill likes to come to this small village. It's in the middle of Norway and mountains, 2 hours by train from Nice. And this is a small village, and usually when Pat is there, Pat is giving wonderful concert of old music in a small church. And also, she organized some kind of play. So usually use some kind of old story from 16th or 15th century, funny story, and push the people attending the conference to play different roles, usually funny roles. Bill play very important role in this kind of performance. Usually he's responsible from voice behind the scene or something like this. Once he was giving the voice of God, and this is very important. So Bill is very serious taking this. So it's one of the moments of this performance. So this is a it's more it's this is the participants just after this performance, and this is Liz, I suppose her name, yes, who was the singer. Yeah. It's after performance. It's again moment performance. And I like this very peaceful picture. I enjoy it because it's just out of necessary to speak, to criticize somebody, just relaxing.
You survive?
Yeah, it's another picture of this. So it's during some event. So usually during this time, Edgar Gunz, who is the organizer of this meeting, has his birthday. And in the dining room, there was usually prepared some cake with some kind of physical emblem on it, corresponding to this particular case. So. It's another picture of Don, of Bill. And this is a moment when Pat is playing in this concert, but this is not in the church, but in the restroom where there is a fireplace.
That was when Ted Jacobson used that Mule of the Gamba as a guitar.
Yeah, so I had some, but I have more pictures I did not bring here. Right. I have more pictures. But this is something I don't remember, maybe 7 years ago. Participants, part of the participants at the station are not before leaving back to Nice. So this is Mario Castagnina, Larry Ford, Steve Carlip. It's a scientific discussion. Edgar Gunzig, his wife, and this is Bill. Bill make a picture of this cake, and you can see some in this cake some elements. So I don't know, remember what, in this year, but it's usually connected with some kind of either information loss or something like this. So it's specially prepared.
I think that was the black hole with the elephant on the top.
Yeah. So it's
television set falling in.
Yeah. It's in the dining room, and this is another picture. So, okay, so before I come to my talk, I would like to make a couple of some general remarks. So, view, full screen. Usually we like, okay, no, before this, how I met first time Don? Oh, Bill, sorry. Morning after banquet, sorry. I met Bill first time. It was late spring, beginning of summer in Moscow. He visited Academy of Science, and it was quite short visit for a couple of weeks. And organizer of this visit was my supervisor, Moisey Sanch Markov, and he asked me to help Bill, to take care of him in this terrible country. And we have a lot of fun. So besides science, we went a lot around Moscow, visited Leningrad. So Bill gave a nice talk at Ginzburg seminar. Ginzburg was very interested in the Anru radiation, and it was a very interesting discussion. After we organized a short visit to Leningrad, and Bill gave a talk at Fadeev Stiklov Institute there, and we had some free time and enjoyed it very much. Bill wanted to attend some ballet, but at this short time period, at this time of the year, it was practically impossible. The best thing we organized for him to come to Mariinsky Theater, I suppose, it was very strange performance. It consists of two parts. One was a remake of Carmen opera, Carmen Suita. So it was a remake done by Russian composer Shchedrin. And this was ballet, really nice. Everybody enjoyed it. And second part was quite strange. It was a small opera. Subject was, it's very difficult to describe, but basically it's a small village very far away from Moscow. And there is a young, nice girl who is a leader of Komsomol in this village. And also he has a team working hard. And the lecturer came from Moscow to give a lecture about love. And all other part of this opera was a very complicated problem she tried to solve, to love or not to love. Because she understands that if he fall in love, she fall in love with this person, it may be very difficult to take more the duties in the Komsomol or in agriculture farm. So when Bill asked me to translate it, honestly, it was not very easy even to find out how to do it. So I told it just it's fun. Recently, for some reason, we were sitting with Bill and have some memoirs discussing as a too old person about our youth. And Bill asked me, what was this about? And now, so fortunately, there is internet. And I find out Carmen Suita ballet and this Not Love Only opera. And especially for Bill, I make a copy. So, you know, one of the reasons of these birthdays is the expectation that they will be presents. So this is a small flash, and this is an album of pictures of Moscow, just to remind you your time when you were happy and young. Okay. Now a couple of words explanation why I choose this subject. So I met Bill already twice during the spring and summer time. First time it was Toronto 100th anniversary of general relativity. And second event was in Germany, Mainz, a conference on quantum vacuum and gravity. At this meeting in Mainz, I gave a talk about some development, recent development of our old model proposed with Gregory Volkovisky of on the non-singular black holes with a closed apparent horizon. And after this talk, I was surprised, but it was very high estimation of my work given by Bill. He told that, you know, maybe it's not so stupid as it looks like. So after this enthusiastic support, I decided to speak some subject connected with this somehow. So this talk is based on three publications. And outline of the talk is the following. So after brief introduction, I will speak a little bit about ghost-free series of gravities, modification of the gravity, which include non-local terms, which contains infinite number of derivatives, discuss weak field approximation in this series and gravitational field of a point mass. After I consider Penrose limit for mass, point mass moving with a velocity close to the velocity of light and use the solution to discuss problem of gravitational collapse. So starting from the solution for static solution for point charges, I would construct solution for dynamical problem of gravitational collapse and for the black hole formation for collision of two particles. So mainly it will be connected with the properties of the some slices of the apparent horizon and this kind of series. So for definition of black hole, we can use different options. One of the standard one is event horizon, which give you the surface of no return and from where no information can go to infinity. And there is an apparent horizon, it's more local term. So you may construct a trapped surface and appearance of trapped surface just tell you that gravitational field is strong enough. So definition of the apparent horizon is the following. So a compact, smooth surface is called a trapped surface if both in and outgoing null surface orthogonal to it are not expanding. So a trapped region is a region inside these surfaces, and the boundary of all trapped regions is called an apparent horizon. So In standard general relativity, when we have null energy conditions satisfied, appearance of the apparent horizon indicates that there is an event horizon out of this, outside of this surface. In general case, if you violate weak energy condition, and high derivatives basically violate this weak energy condition, existence of apparent horizon does not mean existence of the event horizon. So this problem of closed apparent horizon is closely connected with the property of non-singular behavior of gravitational field at the center of the black hole. So we consider non-rotating black hole or some space-time with spherical symmetry. So we can expand these functions near the origin, and space surface where G vanishes is a position of apparent horizon at a given moment of time. So we can calculate Kretschmann invariant for this space-time near the origin and obtain the following formula, which show you that if event horizon cross R equals zero, Kretschmann tensor is singular. So if you would like to have non-singular interior of black hole, apparent horizon cannot cross the origin of center of symmetry. So for this reason, if you think that our complete theory of gravity must be singular free, curvature remains finite, in this case, apparent horizon must have two branches for large masses. One is outside near Schwarzschild radius, very close it. Another inside near the R equals zero, where the curvature becomes of the some Planckian scale or some critical scale. So for Schwarzschild geometry, you can calculate this Kretschmann tensor, and it's divergent near the origin. And we can connect this divergence with the behavior of the field in Newtonian approximation. So you can write phi is exact value is 1 plus 2 Newtonian potential, and in linearized version metric has this form. And there are three connected properties or problems. So regularity or singularity of potential at the origin, I speak about now about the Newtonian approximation. Finiteness of self-energy of point charge in this theory, and existence of apparent horizon. If your potential is restricted and mass is quite small, this function g, which in this kind of situation is simply this one, never becomes zero, and there is no apparent horizon in this kind of situation. So how to make Newtonian theory finite? The easiest way is the following. So this is a solution of Poisson equation for point charge, for point mass. So we can modify theory. What we can do, we can introduce other field, massive field, which have the same source. Its solution is this one. And we can consider regularized field as a difference of these two fields. This is a classical version of Pauli-Wheeler's simplest form regularization. So in quantum field theory, you think about this like a regularization. You may think that modification of gravity happens in small distances, which make it this kind of solution physical. But it has other form. The same thing can be told in another way. So you can start with the solution for the green function. You have two green functions for massive and massless field. And for regularized equation, you have difference of these two green functions. And this difference can be written in such a way. So this propagator is propagator of theory with a high derivative. And this is a fourth order theory. And this makes solution regular in the center. So introducing high derivative allow you to smear singularity. But the problem is that whenever it happens, with the high derivatives, usually you have, besides physical degrees of freedom or connected with the graviton, you have also with a negative sign degrees of freedom, which are ghosts. For this reason, these theories are not good for the quantization, and the status of them is not so clear. So, but problem of ghosts exists already at the level of the linearized theory when you try to make a solution regular. I will be speaking about special proposal how to escape this problem and nevertheless to have some kind of regularization and discuss the properties of this regularization and properties of this series. These kind of series are known as a ghost-free series of gravity, and I try to describe them. First of all, I will be speaking about this kind of series only in special domain in the framework of linearized gravity. So in order to obtain equation for linearized gravity on the flat background, you need quadratic action and quadratic in the perturbation. So you can start with a general covariant form of the action and after put it on the flat background. But in this case, you need to keep only terms which are quadratic in curvature. So first step is classifying all this kind of series and find out how many types of the series exist and what are their properties. So this was done in details in the paper by Mazumbar and collaborators. Idea is the following. First of all, you can integrate by part, and you can put all the covariant derivatives to the right. And here will be some operator, which is an operator depending on the derivatives. There may be many derivatives, but you can look at the indices in this operator. So it has 4 plus 4 indices, so it has 8 indices. But after you can do more, because there is special symmetries and also Bianchi identities. So in general expression, it was shown that there is only 14 invariant of this tensorial invariant. And besides this tensorial operator constructed from covariant derivative, there is a function of box operator. So there may be many derivatives, but not all of them have indices contracted with the curvature. So after these symmetries, it remains only 6 invariants which are, can be constructed. But now, covariant derivatives on the flat background commute. And for this reason, you can restrict your number of invariants to a smaller number of invariants. So basically, your action after this transformation and neglecting terms which arise by integration by parts and higher in curvature than second order can be written in such a form. So there are 3 operators of box, so these form factors. And this is the most general structure which we can put after this on the flat background. But there is one more interesting relation between them. It happens, I don't know, I tried many times. This is a box operator. So there is a relation, it's like Gauss-Bonnet, but it has a box in the power k. It can be related with the expression for the Ricci and the Scalar and terms of the third order in R. So as a result of this kind of identities, only 2 non-trivial functions remain. So after we put action on the flat background, we have quadratic and perturbation action, so which can be written in form which contains 5 functions of the box operator, but they obey 3 conditions. Basically, only 2 of them are real independent. So general relativity can be recovered if you put this constant equal to 1 and f equal to 0. So you require to have a good infrared behavior that when the argument in this function goes to 0, you will have this kind of asymptotic relations in order to recover infrared behavior of general relativity. Now, so as I told, you can write this kind of representation for the action for any series with high derivatives. But the problem will be that if you write some polynomials of box after inversions and to obtain Green function, you will have ghosts and its theory will be not complete in this sense. So there will be extra degrees of freedom. But there is a nice way to escape it. So you may consider very special choice of functions. So if you use entire function which doesn't have any more poles, you will have propagator 1 over box multiplied by this function, which is regular everywhere in complex plane. And for this reason, there will be no extra poles. Problem is that this kind of series are non-local. They contain infinite number of derivatives. So we need to propose some way to define the action of this operator on function and to solve our problem. So I will illustrate how it's possible to deal with this kind of series in linearized version for static solution and for dynamical problem of collapse. So we can entire function, as far as I remember, is an exponent of some polynomial. So this is a regular function. So we can use powers of this or some polynomials, but we can classify them. What is the highest power of box in this operator? So we can say that it's Gauss-free n when it has nth power of the box. So I will consider examples with the propagators of the form factors of this and this type. I suspect, and we are doing this now, you can do it for polynomial of even order 4 power 6 and higher, but becomes more complicated. So I will give you results illustration for these two kind of situations. So I need to make very important remark about validity of this approximation and theory. So all these kind of series with high derivatives and Gauss-free, they have some parameter, length scale parameter, which is a mu minus 1 length. So I will assume that besides this parameter, there is another scale parameter, lambda tilde, where quantum fluctuations becomes important. And I will assume that lambda tilde is much smaller than this one. So I can use a classical description for gravitational field. Fluctuations are small, but what is done in this domain, it's modification of Einstein equation by including higher derivative or non-local terms in the series. So it's something like what happens in cosmology when you have mass of dilaton much smaller than the Planckian mass. You have via domain when you can use classical modified or classical general relativity without speaking about quantum gravity itself. So this is some kind of assumption. So let's consider problem static solution in linearized gravity equation in the Newtonian limit. So Newtonian limit means that stress energy tensor have only zero component, and we consider point-like source. And we represent metric in such a form. So it's spherically symmetric solution, static one, and it contains, in general case, two functions of radius, radial variables. So I write it in a very special manner, psi and phi. So usually you can put this as some new function, psi large, as usually people are doing. But it's very convenient to write this kind of representation. So after varying linearized action, we obtain the following equation. So this equation was obtained by Mazumdar and collaborators in four dimensions. And we repeat the calculation and arbitrary number of dimensions. So what is interesting and remarkable is the following, that psi obey this equation where only one function enter, A. And potential phi contains these things. So in four dimensions, it will be A minus 3C. And it's possible to connect this kind of thing with the property that usually you have tensorial modes and scalar modes. So propagator for scalar modes will be 1 divided by A minus 3C. And its propagator comes from this term. And this is a propagator for tensor modes. For solution in the weak field approximation, both of them are important. So for us, the most important will be this part. So solution of this equation is very similar, but I focus on this one for simple reason. So when you consider transformation, boosting transformation to velocity of light, only this psi will survive. So the solution which we propose can be obtained in our method for this equation, but I focus on this for simplicity and it will be more useful. So first of all, if solution is finite, it doesn't mean that it's regular gravitational field. So we can calculate for this solution Kretschmann invariant and it will contain two divergences. And these divergences come from the first coefficients, linear R terms. And this is a quadratic form, which is a positive definite. And it vanishes only when both of these first components of the decomposition vanish. In this case, field will be regular. So simply speaking, in order to be regular, field starts with a constant and after R square correction, after R square term. So this gives finite curvature. So these solutions are regular. So what I will try to argue and demonstrate that the gravitational collapse in this kind of series, ghost-free series, is regular. And I also discuss head-on collision of ultra-relativistic particles in this theory. So the main result is that for both processes, spherical collapse and head-on collision of ultra-relativistic particles, there is a mass gap for mini black hole production. So you cannot produce black hole as small mass as you want. And basically, mass must be larger than mass mu, which enter mu minus one, which enter these equations. So how to deal with this kind of series? So let's consider first example with the exponent of the minus box. So I consider static problem. It will be flat Laplacian standing here. So and I can write this function, which is a propagator of my linearized theory, in terms of Laplace transform with some function. So this function which enter Laplace transform for this kind of green function is very simple. It's a Heaviside step function. So now you can do the following. So it's operator equation. And we would like to find solution in X representation. So for this reason, we take matrix element of our operators in X representation. And the most important property here, you have exponent of box. And it's well known that these matrix elements are nothing but heat kernels. So in D is the number of special dimension. And this is a form of the explicit form for the heat kernel in this flat space time with a number of dimension D. As soon as you have know this result, you can find out expression for the gravitational potential as an integral, this kind of integral, which can be taken very easily. So you can obtain the answer. For a situation when you have GF2 theory, you have quadratic of Laplacian in the propagator. In this case, Laplace transform does not work for some mathematical reason, but you can use Fourier transform. So in this case, you can write this operator in the following form. So it's E I omega Laplacian. So this is an integral of errors. And again, when you take matrix elements of this propagator, you find out you need to take matrix element of this. And this basically gives you again the heat kernel. But in this case, instead of real S, you need to use I omega. This is the only change. So as a result, you can write expression for this potential in this kind of series in terms of integrals of known functions, and you can calculate them. So in what follows, I will use dimensionless quantities. So one important remark is that gravitational coupling constant is dimensional. We can use mass, critical mass in our theory, mu, to make it dimensionless. So we can write tilde for dimensionless gravitational coupling constant. In my calculation, I assume that in any number of dimensions, this constant is the same. If it's not true, you can obtain a different dimension by simple rescaling the solutions because everything is linear here. So you also change your mass of the point particle to the massless one, and you introduce some dimensionless parameter, which is just mu in the terms of Compton length squared. So all these kind of solutions have a similar structure for any theory. So gravitational potential can be written in this form. So this is a dimensionless product of gravitational coupling constant and mass. And this is standard function, which can be written in integral form. A very important property of this function is the following. So if you take derivative with respect to this argument, I obtain the same expression in the different number of dimensions. Basically, it's property of the heat kernel. So when you apply this operation to the heat kernel, you change the power of s or omega in denominator, and you come to the space-time with the space with other number of dimensions. So another property which you can obtain from this representation is that behavior at far distances of your gravitational potential is Newtonian one. So this factor comes from the our normalization of gravitational coupling constant. We use it 1 over 16 p in the action. As a result, here will be not gm, but also some factor connected with the high dimensional volumes. So in four-dimensional case, you'll have this kind of answer. And also, all these solutions are regular at the center. So all of them have practically the same form. So for theory of type 1, you can write out explicit answer in terms of gamma function. So it's incomplete gamma function for of two variables. Here, expression is a little bit more complicated, but it's explicit in terms of hypergeometric function. So I did not write it because it's not very important. So this is illustration. So I take it for example, three-dimensional space theory with a quadratic Laplacian in exponent. And this is a potential, gravitational potential. It's finite in the center and falling down as 1 over r. So x is a square root of beta, basically it's radius. So this is standard behavior. So for all this kind of series, a situation in any number of dimensions, you have practically similar plots. So this is a finite. It starts with a deflection from constant by r square, radius square, and is falling down as a sum power of radius, which is dictated by a number of special dimensions. So now I discuss, what I will be doing is the following. This is a solution of static problem. So we have point charge and we find out gravitational field. What I demonstrate is that using only the solution, you can construct several other solutions which are of dynamical nature. So first I will boost my charge to the velocity close to velocity of light and obtain gravitational field of a point-like source moving with a relativistic velocity. After I use this to construct solution for spherical collapse problem and for head-on collision. So how to make this limit to the velocity of light motion of the source? It's standard way. So basically in four-dimensional case, it was done by Eichelberg Sechsel. You write down your metric in the following form, it's flat metric. You single out one direction in the special part, it's direction y, it's direction of the motion of the particle. After you make boost transformation, so you sit in the beginning of this reference frame and consider particle moving with some velocity beta with respect to u. So when you make this transformation, coordinate t and y, I change it according to the Lorentz transformation, and gamma is a gamma factor, Lorentz gamma factor. Now, when we consider the limit, what happens? It happens that the leading term in this gamma will be proportional to retarded time u. Special square of special line element will be contained this part and transverse. So you can write flat metric in this new coordinates uv in such a form. What is left will be a special perturbation or special additional part of the metric, which contain information about gravitational field. So it will be structure of du square, and phi can be obtained by taking the limit gamma square psi. Psi is the Newtonian potential of point charge in the case when gamma goes to infinity. So the only thing you need to take this limit. So now I show how to take this limit. So first of all, we would like to have a physical particle, so it needs to have finite energy, and it's so-called Penrose limit. So we fix energy constant. So in this case, instead of m, we consider gamma m and fix this value of energy. So we had two gamma. One go to transform mass to energy, and there is a gamma psi, what is left and we need to find limit for this quantity. But in our case, it's quite trivial because all our potentials contain heat kernel, and heat kernel is exponent. And when you consider this exponent, it will have a transverse direction, and it will have one direction, and after Lorentz transformation, it will have this kind of form along for the motion along y. So there is such an equality, and this delta function of u. So if you speak about Ghost 3 2 with a quadratic Laplacian connection, it will be just you need to change s to is. So as a result, you obtain of this limit, you obtain delta function, and effectively your heat kernel is reduced from d dimensional to d minus 1. So basically, it means that you have plane wave accompanying your particle, and inside this plane wave, you have transverse direction, and gravitational field in this transverse direction is being the same equation as you start with, but in one dimension less. So as a result, we know the answer, and we can use this potential in d minus one dimensional space to obtain this function explicitly. So for this reason, we know explicit answer for the particle moving with the velocity close to velocity of light. So now we can use this solution. First, we use the solution to construct the metric for collapsing null shell. So we consider spherical shell and infinitely thin at the beginning. And we can construct the solution for this, taking superposition of solution of this gravitational field for these gyrotons, as we call them. So it's a linearized series. For this reason, if you take two solutions for particles moving in different direction, it will be gain solution of your linearized equation. So to construct the collapsing shell, we consider set of these particles passing through the same point of space-time, Minkowski space-time. And they're distributed along, their direction distributed along the sphere. We take continuous limit, and in this case, we obtain stress energy tensor localized on this null shell, so incoming shell and outgoing shell. So technically, you need to do the following. The only technical problem here is the following. So that field of point-like particle for the gyroton particle is known in its own reference frame, in coordinates connected with the motion of the particle. In order to obtain metric, we need to make summation of these metrics. But first of all, we need to transform them to one reference frame, to Minkowski one. So there is some kind of geometry here. After this done, very procedure is straightforward, and the answer is the following. So gravitational field is a flat metric plus dh square, and this metric has a very special form, and it contains this gravitational potential in two-dimensional direction for I consider now four-dimensional case for simplicity. So this function is zero inside null cones. So if f is constant, you obtain just flat metric. But these non-trivial combinations can be gauged away. So if you use linearized gravity, you obtain correct limit for the gravitational field of null shell. But in general case, you have answer for any series with a high derivatives or non-local series, because you know this function. And you can make a different statement about properties of this geometry. So we can calculate, for example, invariant, which is analog of the G for the metric, which is basically show you connected with the formation of apparent horizon. So after calculation, you find out that this invariant can be written in such a form. And position of apparent horizon, if it only exists, can be found out as a zero of this function. So okay. In this case, yes.
Sorry, could you just go back 1 second to that last conclusion? You said you know the gravitational field of a null shell.
So gravitational field of the null shell in general relativity is Schwarzschild one outside of
and
shell,
flat inside.
And no and zero inside. Correction is flat inside.
Yeah. So I didn't recognize that in this metric.
Yes. So you need to make the following exercise. So you need to put here for general relativity, it's logarithm of rho. And after find out that you can make coordinate transformation, transform it to, in this form. So it's some kind of exercise, but it can be done.
Okay.
So I
and this form is still not recognizable.
Why?
Is this the exact solution?
Linearized equations.
Oh.
So everything is linearized in mass, so just it's not exact, unfortunately. So beta which enter here is just combination r square minus t square. And you can introduce relation, some parameter alpha to relate them. So if you do this, you obtain that this g invariant connected responsible for apparent horizon have this form. And this is special combination and special function of beta. So in this kind of series, it's very easy to show that there is a critical mass value of collapsing mass. So whenever g first reach zero, give you the value of critical mass. So for mass smaller than critical, there is no apparent horizon. For higher, you have apparent horizon. And it follows from the form of this function. So for if you take this function as a function of square root of beta, it has standard form. So it's linear growing at the beginning, take some maximum at this, and also after going down. So for this reason, when you consider question, does it have zero or not, you're speaking about this function, and this gives amplitude. So you know if it's restricted. So this is, if you take it small, it never have zero. So for this reason, there is no apparent horizon in this kind of situation. And for G2, for example, GF2 theory, for example, this critical mass is 1.38 in terms of in dimensional units. Yeah?
It's not clear to me that you can talk about apparent horizon formation within the approximation, within the linearized approximation.
Yes, I try to explain now this point. So for thick shell, we can calculate also Kretschmann invariant for solution of this type. And after what we need to do after this calculation, I did not show this, but practically what was done is the following. So we consider thick shell collapse, so which is not infinitely thin, and demonstrated that Kretschmann invariant is everywhere finite. And it's proportional to m square. Now, so this is, I suppose, next slide. So if you have this kind of restriction on the mass is smaller than critical, curvature is everywhere smaller than 1 over, okay, so I just keep it. So this, so curvature will be square root of Kretschmann invariant will be of the following type. So this is a critical length. T is the duration of your thick shell. So if it's larger than the critical value, you have a following estimation for the curvature. So it will be critical curvature multiplied by this dimensionless factor. So if this dimensionless factor is small, curvature everywhere will be less than critical one. So for this reason, high-end curvature correction in this kind of situation are not important. So for this reason, you can believe linearized gravity. And in this situation, there is no apparent horizon. When you come to the larger mass, you know that the apparent horizon will be present near the Schwarzschild radius. So it cannot cross singularity at this point, so it will be inner horizon. So so you know that the apparent horizon exists for large masses. So for this reason, for small masses, there is no apparent horizon. For large masses, you know that there is apparent horizon. So there must be critical value of mass where this apparent horizon appears. You cannot describe this domain in this linearized theory details because it's strong field. But I know that from the weak field side, there is no apparent horizon until this quantity not becomes mass large enough. Okay, so for this reason, you may say that for small mass, there is no apparent horizon and there is no black hole formation. And mass must be larger than some critical, and you expect there is only one dimensional parameter, it will be connected with the parameter mu. So this is what we can prove and what we can expect, but in this domain, you have domain where you can believe in this linearized gravity approximation, small masses, curvature is uniformly small. So this is a point. And last point, I would like to discuss the problem of two relativistic particle collision. So standard picture is the following. So we have particle one, particle two moving with the velocity of light. And I consider head-on collision, so impact parameter is equal to zero, it's simplest case. And find out when you will have apparent horizon and what you can say about apparent horizon for small masses using this approximation. So in order to, this problem was analyzed quite a long time ago by Early and Giddings. Yoshin and Nambo considered slightly different version of the same problem. And Yoshin and Rychkov improved the estimation of the mass for black hole formation and cross section. But technically, what you need to do is the following. In domain one, you have a flat space time. Domain two and three also you have space time flat. But when you consider null rays, outgoing null rays, they pass through the gravitational field located in this plane. So for this reason, originally outgoing rays are expanding, are not convergent, but if the gravitational field at this plane is strong enough, they become convergent. So there is some kind of compact surface constructed from two parts. These parts on the null plane are space-like, and they intersect in some line here. So in order to obtain practically, you need to do the following. So you need to represent your solution in this form. It's Eichelberg-Sex representation. The only difference with the calculation of Early and Giddings is the structure of this function. They have Newtonian potential. In our case, potential we modified. So in order to have convergence of the rays in this part equal to zero, this position of the this boundary must satisfy some Laplace equation. And at the points connecting these two surfaces, there must be compatibility conditions. So it gives another one. So you need to solve this equation. And in this paper, they solve this equation for special case for general relativity. So in our case, nice thing that we know this function, it will be different. And basically, position of our apparent horizon formation in this point will be solution of some equation. So this equation can be written again in terms of the function which enter Newtonian potential in some number of dimensions and intersection with one over energy line. So in our kind of series, what we have, this is a this function. It has maximum. And when we consider intersection with some line constant energy, we have three different options. Either intersect twice, or no intersection, no apparent horizon, or critical value. So for this reason, when energy is smaller than something, there is no formation of apparent horizon. Apparent horizon arises at this point, and you have two points of apparent horizon, two branches of them. One is an external one corresponding to Schwarzschild radius, basically, another inner horizon. So I use approximation of small gravitational potential, but energy of interaction may be large. For this reason, it's possible to say something about large energy regime. So I have no time, so I need to conclude. So we consider linearized equation of ghost-free gravity, calculated gravitational potential of point source in any number of dimensions and demonstrated that it's regular for this kind of series. So this non-local operators really works as a regularizer. So we take Penrose limit to find out gravitational field of particle moving with velocity of light and use the solution to calculate gravitational field for collapsing shell and for the head-on collision of two ultra-relativistic particles. Conclusion is that in the domain where you can believe in the linearized approximation, small mass, there is no apparent horizon. There is critical value of energy when the apparent horizon arises in both situations. So it means that maybe a possible situation that when you consider real theory, you can write this equation in the nonlinear regime, but it's much more complicated to deal with these non-localities in the general case. But one may hope that these are indications that in the strong field regime, as well, you can have finite curvature in the center, and something like close apparent horizon may arise in this kind of series. So thank you.
Since you didn't show it to us, I guess just a static, spherically symmetric solution is too difficult to find.
In the complete nonlinear theory.
Yeah.
So it's very, I may explain. So this is a, the first question you have, how to interpret this non-local operator e to the box in the curved space-time. So here in linear space is directly connected with the heat kernel. So heat kernel can be calculated in curved space-time, but only in small separation of points. So, but you need to, for this integral representation, you need to know it everywhere. So this is the first problem. And second, analytically, I don't know how to do it. And numerically, I don't know all either, because it's not a very simple situation. If you have a high derivative theory, you need more data in some sense. Here you have non-local one. So how to make computer calculations for non-local theory, this type, I don't know. I expect it can be done. It's a challenge, but nobody have done this, and there is no, at least there is no simple way. Yeah.
So one of your assumptions was that, the scale lambda where your operators kick in is much longer than the scale lambda twiddle where quantum effects are important.
Yeah.
Did you check that that's self-consistent in the sense that if I took the scale lambda twiddle as my cutoff and calculated a loop with the operator, I could estimate how big the correction was.
No, we consider this as some kind of effective theory and try to extract conclusions from this. So your question is more deep and important. What happens in reality in some sense if you have some version of the theory and find out radiative corrections? So nobody have done this, and it's not trivial thing, I suppose, to do. But so we simply assume these two scales. It's like...
The origin of my question is that if you did this, say, for the weaker directions or something, then the generic thing that happens is that if you iterate the weaker direction twice, then on dimensional grounds, what you find is that the corrections to the weaker directions go like the ratio of those two scales up to factors of 2.5. So if that correction is order one, then the scales are similar. So that says it's actually very difficult to make them.
Yeah. I think that. I may answer only in such a way that in this case, analog of what you told is a role of higher in curvature terms. So when you have higher curvature, you have all these corrections which are curvature are important. So in my regime, when I consider collapse of small mass, curvature is everywhere uniformly small. So we are out of this domain for this reason, we don't care about. As soon as we come to the formation of horizon, curvature becomes large, and in order to speak about properties of this, you need strong field regime. In this case, high curvature terms will be very important. So in some sense, in this simplified problem, we escape this question because we find out solution which everywhere curvature is small. It's like Gesenberg-Euler equation, so you have modification of electrodynamics, but classical electrodynamics is valid until you come to critical field. So we are here in a situation which we are much below than the critical field. So we don't need this kind of things. All radiative corrections will be important with the high curvature, I think. So this is different regimes where derivatives are more important or where curvature becomes important as well. So we consider regime when derivatives are important and curvature, we show, are small. So it's, I suppose it's somehow answer.
Yes, I mean, presumably you don't have anything like an initial value formulation, I mean, even in the linearized case. And presumably you can't tell somebody hands you something they think is a solution in some region of space-time. You presumably can't tell if that's a solution unless you know the whole Global solution overall.
Yeah. What I may tell is, for example, for the null shell in this our old paper with Gregory Wilkowski in 81. So we have this problem for gravity r plus c square. It contains four derivatives. In some sense, formally, you need more initial data. But for collapsing shell, you have initial well-defined problem. So you say that before coming the shell, space-time is flat. And at null infinity, you don't have any fluxes of this extra degrees of freedom or something. So after this, solution becomes unique. So here is the same. So you can use causality. So certainly, if you have arbitrary non-locality, but we think that when we...
But now I think you do have arbitrary. I mean, there you just have a few extra degrees of freedom.
No, here in some sense there is no more degrees of freedom. There is no extra poles. So in some sense it's only one graviton. And when we have effective action with high degrees of high derivative, standard procedure is that we make variation, start with the Euclidean action, make variation, and after substitute instead of Euclidean Green function, retarded Green function. So in some sense, we have one propagator, one over box. So we need to substitute it as a retarded Green function. And this guy exponent doesn't contribute any new poles, no other particles propagating. So in some sense, situation is better than with the high derivatives. So there is no dynamical propagating degrees of freedom, at least in this kind of description.
So actually, do you have plane wave solutions?
Sorry?
Do you have plane wave solutions to this?
So unfortunately, it's quite new. Fortunately, it's quite new direction. So people did not study. I suppose that for plane wave, I think that they remain solutions because box is so in linearized things, when you have solution of the box operator, exponent of the box give one. So for this reason, they remain solutions. So they're working off shell for when you have point charge and so on. But non-trivial question is that what happens when your point charges start moving? In this case, two cases, one is exponent of box and exponent of minus box square are quite different. Exponent of box have two directions, spatial and time direction. So it may be not very good behaved solution for particle and radiation of the field. For box square situation is looks better because it's positive different definite operator. So, but now we have some tools to study this time dimension solution in linearized regime. So for this reason, it's very interesting to find out what happens with the particle which can radiate gravitational field. So, and I think an exponent of box may be very suspicious.
Quantize such a theory, do you believe that this relationship would remain the same?
You know that when you quantize even in one loop, you have a number of counter terms which appear. So in four-dimensional case, this is a you have R square and Ricci square and Scalar square. If you have higher loops, you have higher in curvature correction. So basically, you cannot control it in gravity because it's not renormalizable. So for this reason, if you start quantizing this kind of series, I don't know what happens. So just.
Because it seems to me that then the way you remove the Gauss would just be classical, but when you try to do any quantization, this relationship would break, and then the Gauss would be back in the game.
Okay, so what I told that it's a situation like with the electromagnetic field, and you have Heisenberg-Ehlers Lagrangian, which is nonlinear in strength, or you have also terms with a high derivative and so on. So when you're speaking about classical electromagnetic field, you don't need to think about this until the value of amplitude of electromagnetic field becomes close to the critical one. If it's below, you can quantize and everything is okay. So now question is that when you quantize in the strong field regime, you may have different, and these are other count terms which appear may be very important. So they may be spoil this kind of representation. I don't know.
Postpone the other discussions for the coffee break. So let's thank the speaker again.